Welcome to Making Connections, a WMMT series on diversifying our future.
Welcome to Mountain Talk. Tonight, our guests are involved with the Appalachian Transition Fellowship Program. We're going to start out with Kiara Sims on the phone from the Highlander Center, which is coordinating this program. And then we have three new fellows here in the studio to talk to. Kiara?
So that was our top priority, is to find some people that were from Appalachia, some people who were already engaged in the work and who can talk about the work from a personal standpoint.
Well, that's great. Did you have a lot of candidates to choose from?
Yeah, we did. We had well over 50 candidates to choose from in the end, but we obviously aren't able to host that many, so we narrowed it down to 13 communities. But within those communities, each host communities have at least three organizations that they're working with. So by host communities, we are working with 3 times 13. So it's a lot to deal with, but we did have a lot of applications, and we are certainly going to start the application rounds again for next year soon, so you will hear more about that.
That's great. So you're just getting these fellows started, and you're going to start it all over again, huh?
Yeah. So these fellows started in May, and I think some of them there are in the studio with you now, but they started at the end of May, the beginning of June, and their fellowship would go all the way until May 2015. So by early spring of next year, we should be selecting new fellows, and the fellows we have now will become our alumni base, and we will depend on them heavily to help us with everything.
Well,
so I don't know if they're prepared for that yet, but now they know.
Yeah, the word's out now.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Well, I think it's a really wonderful idea to focus on the future of the region and have all these young people engaged, and we're going to hear about some of the exciting projects that they're up to, and we'll let you go off the phone, and thank you for calling in, and we will check with you and talk with you again when you're looking for new candidates, and hopefully we can get the word out here through the WMMT listening area.
Certainly, thank you, and I'll be listening along, so thank you for having us all.
All right, great. So long.
Bye.
Bye-bye. So that was Kiara Sims from the Highlander Center, and the Highlander Center, along with Rural Support Partners in North Carolina, I believe, are together are coordinating this program, which has a lot of moving parts. It has, as she was mentioning, it has organizations throughout the region in Ohio, Kentucky, Virginia, North Carolina, West Virginia, Tennessee, and a regional organization. And then there are a number of organizations in each of those states, and they're partnering with different groups. So it's making my head spin already. And so here we are in the studio. We also have Tanya Bernice Turner, who I think is working with Josh some. And so we have Josh, Eric, and May. So tell us a little bit. Do you two want to tell us a little bit about what you're doing over in Benham in Harlan County?
Sure. So
and tell us a little bit about yourself, just briefly.
Oh, okay. Well, my name is Joshua Utsi, and I am here. Well, I'm not here, but I am in Benham, Kentucky, working on the Benham Energy Project. And Tanya can help me to describe a little bit more of what that is. But I'm working with KFTC, and that's my host community. And so it's basically to work on an energy efficiency like loan program that's going on. Tanya, do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I bet you could do good.
I know you're going door to door telling people about this, so you've been practicing talking about it.
Yes, but there's a lot of great things and a lot of KFTC involvement with it as well. So I just don't want to leave anything out.
Well, it's a widespread residential energy efficiency project that the city of Benham and the Benham Power Board are excited about doing to try to almost change the course of the town, because money is getting tighter and tighter, and as it is in a lot of the little towns. And Benham is really unique because they own their own municipal utility. And so there's been a Harlan County chapter of Kentuckians for the Commonwealth for a long time. They were one of the first chapters 30-some years ago, and you could arguably say for the last decade we've been kind of dragging ourselves toward this energy efficiency project. About 8 years ago, we had an energy audit at the Methodist Church there in Benham, and since then we got some money to do energy upgrades on Lynch City buildings, and the political situation has changed quite a bit in Benham, and so now it's we have a really good opportunity right now to try to figure this thing out. But we're kind of blazing a new path, as since Benham owns its own municipal utility, they're not regulated by the Public Service Commission, so things are a little bit different, and the city council is going to be passing ordinances, and we're getting a lot of residential feedback right now. Josh has been literally doing social hula hoops, I feel like, social somersaults through town, meeting people I don't even know. For us, you know, we got this project started a few years ago, and it's just been kind of moving slower than anyone ever wants, as most things go. And Josh being in town solely working on this project has really given it a lot of validity and made people feel like it's actually going to happen, because there have been times where it's just felt like we just don't know enough about what we're doing, and we just don't have enough support, and so it's been really wonderful to have Josh in town, and we're real excited.
Yeah, so it's definitely been a really awesome experience being there, and so during my process of getting to know the community, I've been doing one-on-ones with residents and really talking to them about challenges and needs for improvement. And one of the things right now, there is the energy issue that is definitely a pressing issue, but people in the community are very hopeful of maybe the possibility of there being jobs created and things like that. It's like every time, you know, you ask that question, and everyone is very hopeful of the future generation and for jobs. So we're hoping that with this transition with the energy sector, that there will also be connecting jobs for the future and the youth there in Benham.
Well, that's great. And it's really good to hear that people are hopeful and looking to the future, because it's easy to get down and discouraged. So, Eric, you are working in Whitesburg, and tell us tell us a little bit about yourself first, where you came from and what your experiences have been.
Sure. So my name is Eric Dixon, and I'm originally from a little place called Carnes, which is between Knoxville and Oak Ridge in Tennessee. And one of the interesting things that I've sort of noticed since moving here that sort of harkens back to where I'm from, and Susan Williams will tell you this at the Highlander Center too, she's from Oak Ridge, is that you see a lot of similarities in the company town that is Oak Ridge, which was sort of born out of this Manhattan Project in the 40s, and the same house down every street that you see in some coal camps here in Eastern Kentucky. So there's definitely a lot of differences. But that's just something that I've found interesting since moving here. And as far as my project goes, I'm working at the Appalachian Citizens Law Center. So ACLC works on environmental litigation, mine safety cases, and black lung cases. But I'm actually obviously not trained as a lawyer, so I'm doing policy stuff. And I'm particularly looking at the Abandoned Mine Land Fund, which is part of SMACRA, which basically is what regulates both surface and underground coal mining in the U.S. And this fund, which we call the AML fund, is funded through a fee on surface and underground coal mining. And the intent is to put this money into reclamation projects, particularly for pre-1977 abandoned mine lands, or for abandoned mine lands after 77 where the company has gone through bond forfeiture and the abandoned mine land hasn't been reclaimed.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole purpose of our project is to sort of explore the abandoned mine land fund and see if there's sort of a way to put that money to its best use in Central Appalachian communities, particularly driving job creation and water quality and sort of reforestation projects.
Well, that's great. And I guess it's a pretty heavy research task that you have in front of you.
It is indeed. There's a lot of digging through just the letter of the law, which it's been nice being at a law center because they know what they're doing as opposed to me. I don't have that background whatsoever. But I've learned a lot even just in the past month, and it's been fun to navigate that. The other thing I'll mention is that I'm working with another Appalachian Transition Fellow, Kendall Bilbrey, at the Alliance for Appalachia, and they're based in West Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sort of heading up the research side of the project. Kendall's sort of heading up the outreach side of the project. But the idea is to develop a white paper around AML stuff and sort of go at this research project not from the perspective of just me sitting in a room on my computer doing research, but from the perspective of let's engage the community in a process by which we sort of get input from experts who have been doing this for a while and from community members to sort of get this community-based grassroots research in product, which hopefully, if we sort of go at it the right way, might turn into some sort of campaign after the research gets going.
Well, that sounds great. I know it's, you know, obviously a big issue of resources and investment in the region and something a lot of people are interested in and seeing what's possible. So it sounds like you're going to be checking that out for the next year.
Yeah, I'm surprised that they've charged me with exploring a fund that's around $2.5 billion. Lars, that's a tall order.
It'd be a game changer if that money were released.
It would, yeah.
It would be a game changer. I really am sad that the SOAR initiative hasn't come up with something.
Yeah, and I guess right now you don't have the checkbook.
I don't.
Not yet.
No.
But that's
an action item on the work plans.
Right, right.
Get the checkbook for the AML fund.
Good, good. Well, May, tell us about what you're doing, where you came from, and you've got a big piece of work in front of you.
Sure. So I grew up in Western Virginia, Rockbridge County. I grew up between a cow field and a cornfield. And I decided that I was ready to get out of there, so I went to school up in Boston and then realized how
went
much...
to the big city.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. It's probably be the only time I live in a big city. But I decided that I missed the mountains too much, so I came back home, found out about this fellowship, which they do have a food sector focus, and that's where I'm working right now. So I'm working with the Community Farm Alliance, which is based out of Frankfort, but we're expanding into eastern Kentucky. They do a lot of policy and advocacy for family farms in Kentucky. And then I'm also working with the Foundation for Appalachian Kentucky and the Foundation for a Healthy Kentucky. So it's a mouthful. And so right now, kind of what I'm focusing on is figuring out the status of food and farming in eastern Kentucky. So there's a lot of things that are going on, and there are a lot of different pieces. And right now I'm trying to figure out who's connected to who, who's doing what, how can we better all work together, what are the gaps, how can we fill those gaps. So it's been a lot of going around, meeting very cool people, doing very great things, and hopefully this will be a tool that any organization looking to improve the food and farm economy in eastern Kentucky can use later on. So it's going to be a work in progress for a long time.
Yeah, well, that's really exciting because it does seem like there's so many farmers markets and different projects going on, and I don't think any of us here are aware of all the resources or how to tap into them.
Yeah, it's really incredible how many resources there really are, and I think there are so many different levels of people working on these issues that, you know, you'll have one part that will just be a very localized effort, and then you'll have a state effort. You know, how can those two work better together? Sometimes like, I know at least where I'm from, we can get a little territorial. Comes from, you know, our high school teams playing the other county's high school teams, so we would get territorial, and I know that that's something that everyone that I've talked to working on these issues is trying to break down. They're trying to break down those distinctions between the very local and the very state so that it can be more effective out here in Eastern Kentucky.
Well, and it seems that a strategy of the Appalachian Transition Fellowship Program is also to bring you young folks to different communities, and you're all pretty much from the region, but not going to your home community. So I guess then it's like Willa Johnson, who's from Letcher County, from McRoberts, and has been an AMI graduate here at Apple Shop. She's ended up in North Carolina, I understand, so she's a fellow. But do you think that makes sense? Is that, how are you adjusting to what have been some exciting things and some challenging things as you've moved here to Eastern Kentucky?
So,
Josh, we'll put you on the spot.
Well, so, of
you,
course,
you came from Knoxville, right?
I came from Knoxville, yes, and I mean...
That's the big city.
I've had a whole journey. I mean, I was born in Birmingham, Alabama, uh-huh. and I had been to Knoxville from Berea. So, I, you know, there were... some challenges. I guess the biggest thing for me, it was just a cultural difference. Because as you mentioned, you know, being from the big city and then me personally just being, you know, a big, I like to call myself like a rapper or like uh-huh. a hip hop person. It's, you know, it's not like I run into a lot of other rappers. Not saying that they don't exist here. It's just, it's been, you know, but I've been learning a lot about, you know, other kinds of music and other, you know, different types of things. And it's really been a great culture shock. And it's been a mind-blowing experience. I've been meeting a lot of people. People are very open-minded and very friendly and nice. And the people in my community, they feed me pretty good, too. So I like that.
That's a real benefit.
Oh, yeah.
And you're living in Benham, which has a population of, about 300 people?
Well, yeah. So the population as of, according to a census in 2010, it was 500.
Uh-huh.
But where that 300 comes in, there are about 300 utility customers uh-huh. right now. So that's kind of, yeah, it's somewhere in between there.
Right.
Yeah.
But you are in the greater Tri-Cities.
Definitely. I am. Definitely right smack dab in between Lynch and Cumberland. Uh-huh. So Lynch is where I've been going to church, and Cumberland is where I do my grocery shopping.
Well, it seems like you're finding your way around.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I've probably met about 50 to 85, nearing 100 people in the past 3 weeks.
Great. And in... choosing you all in your positions and what you're doing, did you tell, was part of the process that you were interested in this particular area? Like you're involved with sustainable, renewable energy and all. Is that an interest of yours?
Oh, definitely.
Uh-huh.
I have some background experience in doing some work in previous organizations before.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Good.
He's being awfully modest. He co-founded himself in Tennessee a whole organization that is doing energy efficiency in inner city Knoxville. Come now.
I think it's called Seed.
It is Seed with three E's.
Yeah.
Shout out to my homie Stan Johnson.
Well, during the course of your year here, and hopefully it'll be longer than that, you'll have to get into mountain hip hop, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I'm looking at some things. I think we've tossed a couple of names around. yeah.
Good. And May, what about you? Are you traveling around a lot? I went to your office in Chavies, Kentucky, but are you there all the time or have you been all over the region so far?
So I guess the past couple of weeks I've been very much based out of Chavies, but the intention is that I'll be getting around to kind of all the different farmers markets. I've already come to the Letcher County one a couple of times. The idea is that I will get around to basically the counties that surround Perry County is kind of my driving range. because we are trying to break down those county barriers and make it more of a regional support system. Everyone I've met so far has been very supportive and welcoming wherever I go. So it's been pretty great to drive around and see these different places.
Have there been some surprises?
Everyone is way warmer than where I'm from. And I will say that I am, if there had been a fellowship offered in my community, you know, I would have taken it. I'm very much a roots girl. I like to go back to my home. But this kind of felt like coming home, to be honest. You know, the first couple of days I was a little nervous, but I have found myself in a very supportive community, and that was a very awesome surprise.
Well, good. That's great. How about you, Eric?
Well, let me say, as someone from the Knoxville area, it is nice to share fellowship with a co-founder of Seed, because I knew about that organization before I ever knew you, Josh. So that's been cool for sure. But it's also been nice actually being in the middle of sort of Hazard, having May and Hazard and having Josh in Benham. And I don't know, a lot of people say this about Whitesburg. I mean, Apple Shop's based here. There's so many great organizations. So I'm probably the 1,000th person to say this, but it's really, being in Whitesburg, it really feels like a gym in the mountains when you have this just intersection of this intellectual debate that's happening and all this cultural and arts heritage and, I mean, the coal mining heritage as well. It's just a fantastic place to not only, like, be doing policy, but to be doing transition work in general, because I'm learning from so many different sectors and so many different people. And just being exposed to Apple Shop's work has been a blessing.
I think he's auditioning for a DJ job.
You got it. Right.
Is it that obvious?
Well, I know, you know, one of the reasons for the whole transition fellowship program is that it's a real issue with young people in the region of, you know, are you going to go or are you going to stay? You know, what is it going to take to make make this a place that is welcoming and where you can make a living and stay? So, mm-hmm. You know, it seems good that so far your experiences have been good in coming in. And, you know, you hear a lot from young people, there's nothing to do around here and, you know, we're going off to the big city. So I don't, you all who have come and or lived in big cities at different times seem to be, how are you adjusting? It's going okay?
Oh, yes, definitely. And I think just like what you were saying, you know, people who are from around the area, they're like, you know, they're just so used to it and they want more. And I've come in and I'm like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. Like, this is so incredible. And they're looking at me like, what? But like, you know, it's like, meeting with new people and, you know, definitely, like I said, just kind of doing this culture exchange. And one of the things that people are starting to, like, actually realize, you know, they're like, yeah, I mean, hey, I guess it is kind of cool, you know, like where I live, you know, and things like that. As far as the adjustment to the area, yeah, I don't think that it's been too hard for me to adjust. But I think, you know, that's a lot of my own personality. You know, just, I hate to use that song, Rolling Stone as a reference, but where I lay my hat's pretty much my home, so.
Well, that's
yeah.
Good. That's great. How about the rest of you? What's been your other reactions to being here?
Well, I mean, I definitely think it's a different set of things to do than in an urban area. But that doesn't mean to say that there's less things to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a different set of things to do. I mean, talking on Parker and I just kind of talk on a front porch or just hang out and just have conversation. And that's a lot of fun. There's also, I mean, there's a reason striving to save these mountaintops. I mean, the natural beauty has to be mentioned, and the wonderful hiking that's around here. There's enough of that to keep you busy all year, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's great. Sometimes it's hard to see the forest for the trees, I guess. Or sometimes when you've been in a place all the time, you kind of forget what's there. But that isn't to say that I think the region is facing some really serious issues, you know, that that all of us, whether we're young or old, have to really be concerned about, you know, what how we're going to replace the high-paying jobs that we've had and you know, clean up and do the kinds of things that will keep us going. So I know one thing you all have also done is you've met together as a group. And what's that been like? Have you been doing some history and those kinds of things?
Yes. So when we first got together, the whole fellowship, I'm guessing that you're speaking of, we actually took a tour over the Appalachian region. Well, the Central Appalachian region, I would say. And if you guys kind of, if you would, just like, aid me a little bit. how many places did we go to? But it was like in
we
like
should say there are 14 of you, 13 yeah. or 14.
yeah,
around the,
over 10.
Over 10.
We've added a couple since the initial mm-hmm. uh-huh. started. We've added one even just in the past
day or so, right? Yeah. yeah. And so, like, that whole trip was pretty much
packed up into some
blur.
Vans.
Yeah. yeah. And we were all packed up in, like, two vans, and we drove around. And
yeah,
we.
If you want to make new friends, be in a van with them for 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly. I mean, I think I actually made beyond friends. I have, like, family members.
Yeah.
yeah. May's my sister, Eric's my brother.
That's
and
great.
We get to actually hang out all the time.
Uh-huh.
yeah.
Yeah, we had this dream that there would be like a Appalachian transition like bus that we would all like take gallivanting through Central Appalachia. Didn't quite work out like that. We were kind of crammed in two vans, but it was still a lot of fun. We made our way up through West Virginia. We even went up to Athens, Ohio. And then we came through Kentucky, went down to North Carolina, and then ended back up in Tennessee.
Yeah, I understand. You did a zigzag kind of.
Yeah,
just to get. Well, one of the things we're all used to in this area is driving a lot. So that was a good introduction.
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And what were some of the organizations that stuck out in your mind that you visited? So you visited each organization where a fellow is going to reside in, then other ones as well, I gather. Mm-hmm. What'd you kind of take from that trip and what's going on?
Well, one of the places that really stood out to me, I believe it was called ACENET.
Mm-hmm. And that's up in Athens, Ohio.
In Athens, Ohio. And the idea of what it was, a business incubator, is that correct? Yeah. And that idea has just kind of like stuck with me.
Hmm.
I was like, that was such a really good idea. If more places would do that, there would be more businesses, you know, going around. That means there will be more work for people. That gives retailers more items to sell. It, you know, it just in a full spectrum. So I think that was, if at Highlander we talk about things that affect your head, your mind, and your heart, and your feet. That's something that definitely affected all three for me.
Uh-huh.
And maybe after this fellowship, I would like to, you know, dab a little bit into trying to see how we could put together a business incubator.
Oh, that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And May, I know there's some other fellows that are working on food issues too, I think, aren't there? And ACENET, that's one of the things they've incubated up there.
Absolutely. I think one of the best things about the tour actually was being able to realize the connections that could be made across the states. So already Carol is our fellow who's working at ACENET, and already we've been trading materials. We also have someone who is working in Charleston with the Charleston Area Medical Center, and he's working on helping the hospital source local foods. From the area farmers, trying to boost the local farm economy up there. And again, we're able to sell switch resources because he's got a lot of resources up there from the back work they've already done, and I've got a lot coming from down here about the challenges of kind of, you know, farming in the mountains, working with that minimal flatland.
And then we were talking about some of the fellows that we've just added on. We have one over in Abingdon, Derek. He's working with Appalachian Sustainable Development on their food hub logistics. And that's another thing we've been talking about here in Eastern Kentucky is how can we get farmers' products aggregated to a point where institutions like hospitals, like schools, like restaurants can be able to produce them. So Derek and I have been setting up a tour for the people who are involved in food and farming issues in Eastern Kentucky to go check it out, see what they're doing, see how we can work together.
Oh, that sounds great. That's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we even get some food from down that direction in our local grocery store, particularly Food City here, mm-hmm. which is a sign that it can happen, I think.
Absolutely.
What about you, Eric? What have you noticed in your travels around?
Well, my background in school was philosophy and economics. And so one defining characteristic that I sort of noticed in the spots where there was a lot of good traction happening around Appalachian transition stuff was that it was sort of like Appalachian transition was this collective action problem where you have multiple actors in a sector that really have to work together to achieve this common goal of a just and sustainable Appalachian economy. But if they sort of worked in isolation, the problem sort of set up to where they won't get there. They have to collaborate.
Uh-huh.
So for example, like, there have been a couple studies, a couple done by the ARC and a few others that have shown a lot of potential in Central Appalachia for jobs in the clean energy economy. So we sort of know the potential's there for solar, biomass, even some wind energy jobs. And we have former miners and others who sort of have the general background that could do this sort of work. And we have bright entrepreneurs in the region, but we're sort of in this scenario where an entrepreneur is sort of afraid to start a renewable energy business because they're not sure the skilled labor is going to be there. And then, for example, a community college is sort of afraid to invest in a big retraining program because they're not sure the businesses are going to be there to hire the skilled labor. Mm-hmm. So it's like we have all these pieces that if we were to just form coalitions to sort of bring all those players to the same table and sort of make a formal coalition around a green jobs project, then we could really see some progress. And the sort of defining feature that I saw in the tour was that the best projects were just those that were formal coalitions between different sectors who were bringing together actors that might not otherwise be able to trust each other in sort of a formal or legal way, but really have to work together to achieve this sort of common goal.
Yeah, that's something that I think a lot of people say we've not been very good at, you know, in Kentucky having so many counties and thinking of ourselves as a county and sometimes thinking of ourselves as the cities within the county and our different sports teams and all this, that it kind of seems like we need some new ways of thinking mm-hmm. around here, which it seems like that's part of what you all are up to mm-hmm. is sort of helping us see through the way things have been and think about it in different ways.
Yeah, I think the Highlander Center and the Funders Network were very intentional in the way that they set up the fellowship projects. And I think it reflects or resonates with a lot of the coalition building aspect in that, like, the communities that are hosting these fellowships, it's not a single organization. It's you had to have at least two organizations agree to host a fellow. So,
and I think they would be in separate sectors.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, sectors, like a... Yeah. For-profit and a non-profit.
Government.
Yeah. So you're seeing, even the way that the fellowship is set up, where it's forcing us to build these crossroads that we really have to get to Appalachian transition.
And Tanya, I know you can't speak for all of KFTC, but what do you see as the advantage of participating in this project, both for KFTC and for the region?
Yeah, well, sort of what I said earlier is, you know, having Josh, his office is in City Hall. He has seen people that I was never going to get an opportunity to meet. I don't live in Benham. Uh-huh. And the City Council and the Power Board are all volunteers that have other jobs and families. And it's, you know, in KFTC we call it buckets of work. And there's just too many buckets of work for all of us to pack around. And having Josh in City Hall, being able to have these conversations and keep this dialogue going, has been really invaluable. But I would say one of the, you know, we were already working closely with the City of Benham. A lot of KFTC members are on the City Council in Benham and on the Power Board. But this fellowship created another alliance with another partner that we have with a low-income housing organization down in Harlan called COAP, which stands for Christian Outreach with Appalachian People. It's basically a Habitat for Humanity. They build homes for low-income families in multiple counties, and we have been working with them. We've already retrofitted one home in Benham, and they contracted the work, and through this program, they are working to get all of their employees HERS ratings and all these energy efficiency ratings. Mm-hmm. So in turn, all of these new low-income homes that are being built and refurbished in and around Harlan County are going to be energy efficient homes. Wow. Because of this. And to bridge something that Josh and Eric was saying about the jobs aspect and working different entities working together, you know, we're in Benham, we're in the earliest stages of trying to have talks with the community college system, because a huge valuable thing we have in Eastern Kentucky is this amazing community college system that trains young people. And for instance, up at the Big Sandy location in the last last 5 years, they had an energy audit program where they were training people, but there was no demand around there, and so there was no on-site locations. It was a workforce solutions program, but there were no on-site locations for the students to go and work, and they were having to send them to Ohio, and it just seemed really crazy. And so that program is gone now, and we want to try to figure out how this program can create the demand in Benham for those jobs and work with the Cumberland campus or the community college to bring that program there that's already written, the curriculum curriculum's already there, so that we can start using students to do the work. You know, you can't outsource jobs working on houses in a community. So that's been really good.
That sounds really exciting. It could be some real payoff just within the year that you're here.
And at least that's definitely something that I'm hopeful of.
That's great. Now I know, Eric, you were saying to me in a conversation that you all also have projects that you're going to do on your own during the course of the year. And Eric, tell me about yours, what you're thinking about doing. This is in all your free time, right?
Yeah. Well, the fellowship is actually set up in a really great way where towards the end of the time span, toward the end of the year allotment, we actually have time set aside to work on the personal project or, you know, whatever you want to call it. And it's nice because it gives us a chance while we're on the ground here to get a better sense of what projects might be good, you know, or what we might actually be able to achieve with a given project. So two of the projects that I'm exploring, one would be getting some sort of renewable energy project on a former strip mine.
Uh-huh.
Now, a lot of people have talked about around here, but it would be nice to really bring those people to a single table and, you know, actually dedicate some time to researching those avenues. So I would really like to either, whether it's a solar array or one idea is like a biomass project where you could grow black locust or switchgrass, some indigenous plant or tree, and then sustainably harvest it, put it into a biomass gasification system, which creates electricity, lots of electricity actually, and creates biochar, which is carbon negative. And then you could mix that biochar to create compost, fertilizer, and then redo the process over and over again. So that's an idea. I'm also very interested in worker-owner cooperatives.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have worker-owner record store.
Uh-huh.
Here in Whitesburg, That's been great. But I would like to sit down with them, talk to them about whether the laws written in Kentucky are conducive to creating a worker owner firm. And if not, what ways the law might be able to be navigated or even changed so that we could have more worker owner firms, whether there are any sort of hindrances to a set of entrepreneurs or workers trying to create their own firm here in Kentucky, and whether we might be able to open up some potential for that.
Well, that sounds exciting. What about you, Meg? Have you thought through projects yet? Now, you're still early on in your fellowship as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have a new idea every day. and I don't imagine that whatever I end up doing as my personal project will be terribly separated from what I'm doing right now. I'm all about trying to make all the things work together. But some of the things that I would really like to see is, and if I can do them, that would be really great, is kind of groundwork for developing a really localized hub system. I was talking with a couple of farmers from the area who see maybe there's a possibility for small localized hubs throughout the region that then can collaborate, share their, I have too many tomatoes, you have too many cucumbers, uh-huh. Let's trade.
Right.
And then sourcing eventually to Appalachian Sustainable Development or something. So doing the groundwork for that, you know, seeing what's involved, what are the pieces that we need. And along those lines, you were talking about cooperatives. Another farmer was talking about the need for farmer-buyer groups.
Uh-huh.
Like whether or not you like the word cooperative, cooperatives are based on the idea that the people who, you know, like have been pretty marginalized come together to have more of a collective power. And so, you know, when you buy things in bulk, things are cheaper. You, instead of paying 39 cents for egg cartons, you pay 20 cents when you buy in bulk. So trying to figure out how we can help our farmers to save a little bit of money there, keep it in their pockets, and maybe even start hiring some more help, opening up that job sector there.
Yeah, well, all of this agriculture is it's not new, but it seems a little new for the region, surprisingly also, but it's very exciting.
I think there was a generation when it was all about convenience, and I know I've been a lot of people that I've heard talking at a couple of the SOAR meetings, say what you want about SOAR, but at least it's great to hear what people are thinking. And a lot of people have said, you know, my grandparents had a garden, but I never learned to do it, so I can't teach my kids. And so I think it's kind of that, you know, in cities and stuff, it's trendy now. But it's also, like, I think it has a lot of potential here in eastern Kentucky, especially as things fall apart with the drought over in California. You know, let's look at how we can start, you know, keeping our, growing our own food, feeding ourselves, and keeping that money in the region. I think it has a lot of potential.
Great, good. And what about you, Josh? What's your plan?
So my plan for my project definitely says I believe that music has its own way of helping things and healing things. I want to actually do a project that is culturally educational and that's actually depicting I would say what I would like to do is to redefine basically the culture of Appalachia, or at least what people think that is, through a song and an accompanying music video. So already I have started to make some connections, and I'm working with a young gentleman who actually used to work over here at Apple Shop by the name of Austin Rutherford,
uh-huh.
And he'll be helping me to put together and actually carry out my music video. But we've been kind of putting the project off a little bit later, but we have actually been designing a lot of pieces of so I have a couple of songs already that just kind of memoirs of my experience here, and I'm still adding to those and collecting to those, and then I would like to eventually put those together and then just drop a beat behind it. And yeah, so
that sounds cool.
Yeah, so it's definitely gonna be a fun project, but there's gonna be a lot of overlap between the project that I'm working on now and a lot of the relationships that we're building, because we're expecting to shoot some of the scenes for the videos and some of the upcoming events that'll be coming up. So, you know, it's going to be kind of tricky how we piece it all together, but it's definitely intentional and in how we're just hoping, you know, to just stay on top of putting everything together.
Great. So, you know, this region has had a lot of people come in, a lot of young people. We've had the Appalachian Volunteers and Vistas and this and that, and people have kind of varying opinions of that. And there's been a lot of money that's come and maybe not always been used the best ways. And they're kind of, as you mentioned, May, sort of mixed feelings about SOAR, kind of some cynicism about, you know, whether that will make any difference. And I'm wondering just what, you know, what you all are sensing from people as you come into communities. You're not from that far away, but you're not, you know, you're not absolutely from that holler or whatever. And what kind of sense of where people are and what, where they want to go, if you've got that at this point.
I find myself in conversations with really nice people all the time. And, you know, they remind me that they're friends of Cole sometimes and the things that they like. But I think that's always, you know, cool for people to be honest and, you know, share mm-hmm. just basically how they feel about, you know, especially things that could be political at times.
Right.
And it always provides a place to just kind of learn, you know, where I am and, you know, the people who are here and like where they're coming from. And but it also gives space for us to have dialogue about transition uh-huh. and about, you know, possibilities of future generations and, you know, income sources and new ideas and possibilities that can be created. I've had a lot of those kind of conversations, and it's just always, it's always turned out like at the end of the conversation, it's like a light bulb kind of uh-huh. comes on. It's been great.
That sounds great. How about you all?
I'd say it's been a really pleasant surprise, the enthusiasm and acceptance and welcoming spirit of everyone. I would expect, you know, I was expecting to come in and be like, oh, you're just another, you know, 1 year stint here. To be honest, I think I might would like to stay. But it's been inspiring to see how continuously hopeful people continue to be, even as people come in and people leave and the money comes in and isn't spent probably in the most effective ways, that there's still enthusiasm for especially kind of our generation to come in. I think a lot of people are surprised that I would willingly move here, uh-huh. but I don't think they realize what a special place it is, especially to, you know, someone who hasn't found such a strong community before. For me, I haven't had much run-in with that cynicism that I would have expected.
Uh-huh.
It's been a lot of support for my ideas.
That's great.
So I think, I mean, I've sort of experienced a very similar sort of take on it as Josh and May have gotten, a very welcoming and very forward-looking sort of sense as I've met people. I mean, I will say, I think some people I've met here have like a very healthy suspicion of like outsiders just because of our history,
uh-huh.
you know, just of people coming from outside the community and just extracting multiple forms of wealth, whether that's natural wealth or social wealth or, you know. But I mean, if you just sit down and talk with people, I mean, you just see that you have so many commonalities and we're all pointed in the same direction. We're all, we want a stronger economy. We want more jobs, you know? So you find very quickly that you have a lot in common with a lot of people that you meet here, you know?
Well, that's really great. And that's wonderful words for all the people out in our communities. I think that everyone has been so welcoming and as they ought to be. But as you said, you know, there are reasons to the history has not always mm-hmm. been kind in that respect. So that's really exciting. And so when you all become fellows, do you have to sign your life to spend the rest of your life in Appalachia in one part or another? Do we get to keep you forever?
I think the hope is that our communities will capture our hearts and have us stick around. And I think there was, when you're applying, they do say, you know, like, what is your commitment to Appalachia? And I think so many of us in this fellowship were born and or raised in some part of Appalachia. And so it does, you know, we all have a sense of home, I think. There is no actual contract to make you stick around. And, you know, it's healthy to get out and see other parts of the world. But I think, I don't know, I might be wrong, but I think
They didn't make you sign a contract?
No, not me, Eric. but I think, judging by the words of our fellows, that the commitment is there.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, that's wonderful news. Well, I think we probably should wrap up this edition of Mountain Talk, and maybe we can get you back in 6 or 8 months and check in on your projects and see how they're going. And maybe we'll do a Mountain Talk on each of your projects and talk to other fellows, because they all seem really exciting and really great work for the region and for all of you. So thank you for doing the fellowship program.
Well, thank you for having us.
I'm glad to do that.
Yeah, thank you. Can I also give a shout out just before we roll out to KFTC and MACID? Who are doing amazing work and also helping me with my fellowship. So I just wanted to make sure that was mentioned.
And when you master how to work for all these different groups, how to collaborate, you can pass that on to the rest.
Let us all know.
Thank you so much for being here tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, thanks.
Making Connections is brought to you by WMMT, Mountain Community Radio. Find out more at makingconnectionsnews.org.